Last Sunday of 2018. We've laughed this year, we've cried. We've been broken and healed. We've been brought low. And you are so faithful, Lord, as what it says in James, that if we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, at the right time, you will lift us up. And you have been so true to your word. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our losses and we thank you for our gains. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the Lord over us all and over everything we face. You are still true. In Jesus' name, amen. This has been a year of such good change and unexpected change, and God has been God over them all. Amen. This year, our senior pastor went home to be with Jesus. He's up there enjoying his reward right now. He doesn't have a single concern about anything going on down here. He's just probably trying to look out everybody that he taught about and said, hey, can I spend some time with you? Hey. After you spend all probably with Jesus all this time and every now and then probably grab somebody else when he sees them. You know that truth that you taught? Here, let me show you what else it means. Just these wonderful things. And Pastor Bill was my spiritual dad from 1981 till he departed and went home to be with the Lord this year. And when we came here in 1981, we came here with a 2 to 3 year old child, and that child is no longer here. And my precious son, Jeremiah, that our heart got broken, but God is the healer of our hearts. He got to enjoy 38 years on this planet, just a couple weeks shy of his 39th birthday. And he is now experiencing the presence of the Lord. And I'm so assured of that because of my conversations just prior to his departure. And it was just so neat that even when a person we don't even know that's going to come to the end of their days, and how God can even grant us assurance, can grant us assurance before they took their last breath or before he took his last breath of these spiritual conversations. I remember the last time that I had with him, and he assured me of his relationship with Jesus. And tears were just streaming down his face, and he just got up and just started kissing me all over the face. What 38, 39-year-old child does that to his parent? And it was just something I'll never forget, because it was one of my last encounters or contacts with him. And what a wonderful way to remember someone was the embrace, was the confession of faith, and was such great expression of love. Isn't that beautiful? And so, you know, we have these things during our lifetime. We experience these things. And some of you may have had a better year than others, but I'm here to tell you that 2019 is going to be a year of the yes, Lord. I really believe it's going to be a yes, Lord year. And I'll get into a little bit why I'm saying that. I was watching this live conference yesterday, and toward the end of that of the message, they had these Chinese believers and these Chinese leaders get up and speak at the end of this conference, and they were indicating why they have come to America, why they are going to Europe, and why they're going to Great Britain. And they were saying that the Lord had spoken to their hearts to leave their homeland of China and go back to the nations that God used to send them missionaries in the 1800s and in the 1900s to seed the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout that nation. And they have such a heart for the church in Europe, in Great Britain, and the United States, because they believe that it's no longer what it once was. The fervor and desire of the Church of America and Great Britain and Europe is not what it once was. And they believe that they have been sent out here, as I was listening in that conference, to once again stir the Church of Jesus Christ prior to the return of Jesus Christ. That they were poured into for so many years, now they are hearing God's call. And unashamedly, most of them don't even speak English. That when the person was talking, he had to translate in Chinese so those that came with him from China could understand what he was saying. And I'm just not talking about a few. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds that are coming here in the United States, maybe even thousands. But there were approximately 500 there at this one place. And that's just one location that they have been sent to within United States and Europe. And it was just such an encouraging thing to see, but also a reminder. A reminder for us, the believers in Jesus Christ here in the United States, to be the Church of Jesus Christ, to make sure that we're awake, to make sure that we are following what the Lord has for us to follow and accomplishing what the Lord has for us to accomplish, and not get stagnant, not get settled. And I believe that this year of 2019 is a Yes, Lord year. And the reason why I say that, the last few months, on the last Wednesday of every month, I've been teaching concerning the Yes, Lords that I have come across in Scripture. And I really believe that these three Yes, Lords that I've been teaching on have culminated for this last Sunday of this month. And in these teachings, I've been seeing in the Word of God a comparison between the bridegroom and the bride, a comparison between the head and the body, a comparison between the vine and the branches, a comparison between the high priest and the priest, and the King of Kings and kings. There is something that the Lord, even father and children relationships, and if you just take those things that I've just said, you'll notice that every one of them have a different corresponding relationship. There's a different relationship that a person that is courting someone that they have with the parent and a child. There's a different relationship that the head has with the body. There's a different relationship the Word of God talks about as the vine and the branches, or the bearing fruit part, once the life of Jesus is coming through. And so when you start looking up these different comparisons in Scripture, you start seeing the fullness of our life in Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, I was doing a study on, I'll just read to you the portion of Scripture. This is just to give you some tidbits of where we will be going this next year. But in Hebrews chapter 12, there's a passage, there's part of a verse that says this. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to be getting in some spiritual type teachings, some analogy teachings, and finding out what God has for us. But one of them comes from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 42. But you have come to Mount Zion, and that's another type, the heavenly Mount Zion and the Mount Zion that's here on earth. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly, and this is the portion here that the Lord was having me focus on during this past week, the church of the firstborn. Okay, so there's going to be an emphasis that I really believe that there's a teaching that the Lord wants to bring out, that Jesus Christ, there's a reference in Scripture that refers to Him as the firstborn of the dead. Not that Jesus was ever dead, but His body was dead. His body died. Jesus was always eternal, and He will always be eternal. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He did come at a point in time in history that we celebrated last week, where Jesus came and took on a flesh body, and He dwelt among us. That the Son of God, or God Himself, God the Son, the only suitable sacrifice to redeem mankind was God the Creator had to take on flesh. God incarnate had to take on flesh and live life on this planet like we live life, and then to take the sin of the world upon Himself to be the only suitable sacrifice. And that's where a lot of people, there are all religions and all people, even history, agree that Jesus came. But they don't agree that He came from heaven, that He is the Son of God incarnate. They don't believe that after He died, that He resurrected from the dead. That's what sets us apart. That's what sets Christianity apart. That the Son of God became flesh, died for our sins, the third day resurrected from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God and is coming back. And I believe that His return is a whole lot sooner than most people believe. And so, there's this, He is the head of the body. He's the firstborn from the dead. And I want to get into the right or the birthright of the firstborn and everything that the firstborn has, that the birthright of the firstborn and everything that the firstborn and that birthright that he possesses belongs to us as church. Because it says he is what? The firstborn from the dead. And what does this passage say he is? He is what? Verse 23. I already moved on to my next passage here. But I always like to make sure I quote things properly. The church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. See, when we get an understanding of all that Jesus is, and that he is the head and we're the body, that all that Jesus has and all the rights of the firstborn fall unto us also. And we have to understand some of these things, because I believe that there's a lot of believers living underneath their full potential in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important for us to begin looking at some spiritual types and shadows to gain a deeper understanding of the privilege, of the honor that has actually been bestowed upon us, the church. And that's humbling in itself. To think that when Jesus said in John 17, my glory, my honor, I give unto them. He's like, Father, I give this to them. And when you think of the glory of God or the glory of Jesus or the glory that Jesus walked in when he was on this earth, and he says that he's given us that honor, that respect, that acknowledgement. Isn't that almost too much to handle when we think of that? But there's a way to properly enjoy and walk and live and move in him. And I also would like to get into some teaching of the royal priesthood. And the reason why I say royal priesthood or the priesthood according to Judah is those of you, okay, any of you here have ever watched Christian television? Probably all of us. At one point in time, we probably watched something. And you know that there's a big movement right now of people trying to get the church back to their Jewish roots. And there's a lot of wonderful truths that people are teaching. But it's more on the Levitical side than on the royal priesthood side or the Judah side. It's a lot of the law, keeping the law, even to even you'll hear a person say, well, you need to purchase this prayer shawl and put this prayer shawl over your head and you'll get more revelation and deeper answers to prayer. You show me New Testament scripture for that. The Levitical priesthood has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are after now the royal priesthood, which is according to the tribe of Judah. And there's some things that God wants to teach us according to what the Word of God says concerning the royal priesthood, where the priesthood, where royal, speaking of kingship, and priesthood, speaking of the priests, where they have been merged together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Merged together. As you know, the Levites could never mix with Judah, and Judah could never mix with the Levites. They always had to remain separate. But now there's a merging of the two, and it's a royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. And a lot of times this isn't being brought out in a lot of this returning to your Jewish roots movement. You're not hearing a lot about the order of Melchizedek. And there's something that God really wants to bring forth to have a greater understanding so we can possess what God wants us to possess and be what God wants us to be. And for some of you who don't understand or have never heard of types and shadows, there are similitudes or references in the Old Testament and also in the New that will always point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. A similitude or a shadow, like you've heard me say before, like I think Wednesday night I held this. Let me see. There's a light here. Okay, where's this light coming in at, Bill? Can you raise up your hand? Okay, look, there's Bill's arm right there in that. Oh, there's his hand. Now, when we look at a shadow, we can talk all about the shadow, but the shadow does what? The shadow points us to a substance, which is his hand. And there are a lot of things that we can learn through shadow teaching, but will always point us to the substance or to the reality that's Jesus Christ. And if it's not pointing us to Jesus, and if it's not glorifying the Lord, then I'm going to reject it. Okay? So we are told in Colossians that all these things, the feast days and all these different things that were taking place in the Old Testament were just shadows that point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to take some time and teach on that also. There's some other things I'll be bringing up. But this Yes, Lord teaching, the Lord's just going to allow me just to share some things this morning that he's placed upon my heart. This Yes, Lord teaching. Before I get into that, just think of Luke chapter 10 real quick. Luke chapter 10. There was a time where Jesus visits. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's just like, is this it right here, Lord? Yes, Luke 10. Jesus goes and visits the house of Mary and Martha. And most of us know the difference between the two. As you remember, we all know that Martha was very busy. She was encumbered with many things. But it goes on here to say, let me just read this to you, because there's something here that the Lord is going to focus in on our lives. Now it happened as, verse 38, Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went, that he, speaking of Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Some of us, we just get so busy. Some of us, there are things that the Lord, I really believe he's going to hone, he's going to bring a change in your busyness, the things that occupy your time. There's nothing, we all have things to do. I have things to do. We all have things to do, but never to the neglect of taking a seat in the Lord's presence and hearing his word to our heart. Never to the, if we find ourselves neglectful of this, as let's go on here and just see what this says here. But Martha was distracted. Any of you find yourself distracted? Any of you find yourself agitated? Any of you find yourself with a whole lot more on your plate than what you'd like to have? She was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care? Any of you find yourself so busy that you don't even think Jesus is even watching or even caring? That my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. Listen to what Jesus responded. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're so full of worry. You are worried and troubled. You are full of anxiety. You are disturbed. It says this word also here, this troubled means there's a whole crowd of things going on inside your thinking. Have you ever been crowded in your thoughts? I mean, I'm talking crowded. It's just like you don't even know which voice is what. Is that me? Is that God? Is what in the world's going on here? But I like what he says here in verse 42. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. One thing is needed. And I believe that the Lord is going to help you get to this one thing this year, that you are going to start having your own one thing needed times with Jesus, where you are going to purposely set apart meeting time and allow the Lord to speak into your life and speak into your heart. That even right now, I just got, there's some of you could even get distracted right now. I mean, you could hear one thing, then all of a sudden your thought goes off somewhere else. I mean, it's just that quick. You could turn to a passage and then begin looking at it, and then all of a sudden, whoo! Any of you have some rabbit trail thoughts just within the past few minutes here? It happens so easily. But you see, you are the Lord of your own thoughts. You are the one who governs what your mind thinks or what it doesn't think. If I allow my mind to go off on some thoughts, then I have allowed it to do so. Okay? If you allow, you're sitting here and like, well, I've heard this Mary and Martha thing one too many times. The moment a thought like that comes in, you shut me out and you take a trip. Wherever that trip takes you. You're on vacation. You have just vacated. You don't have to vacate. You don't have to let your thoughts wander. You are in charge of yourself. I am in charge of myself. Are you in charge of yourself? That means I'm in charge of everything that goes on within my thinking. When I came here in 1981, a denominational pastor wrote me off. A psychologist wrote me off. A psychiatrist wrote me off. And they gave me a diagnosis that I would just be able to learn how to manage the messed upness of my life, what was introduced into my life and what I introduced into my life, that the only thing that I could really hope for was just learn to cope with me. And that's basically what I was given. And then here's some meds to take along with it. I was not told about freedom. I was not told about it being a new creation. I was not taught that what once was over my life is no longer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was not told that you can completely change and be completely transformed, that you can have the washing of the water of the Word and experience a complete, total transformation. That all those things that a denominational pastor said, that a psychologist said, that a psychiatrist said, and the final diagnosis, I'm not going to even give you that diagnosis because I'm not going to glorify the devil. But I'm here to tell you today, has all been redeemed and made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have been, boom! Some of you need to boot some old things. Amen. And quit putting up with them. Quit petting them. Sometimes we're just putting up with stuff. Don't put up with it. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and God makes all things new. Amen. And it says right here, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. If you choose a seat in Jesus' presence, if you choose and purpose to hear His word for your life, I don't care if it's just one portion of a scripture for that day. If you choose, I'm going to get before the Lord. I'm going to quiet myself before the Lord because I'm a child of God. I'm a shepherd. There's another relationship, shepherd and sheep. And we're told that the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that His sheep know His voice, and we are to know His voice. That just on the base of that scripture alone, that I can get along with my shepherd, and His going to speak to me because I'm one of His sheep. And He's got something to say, and I'm putting myself in a position to listen. One thing is needful. If you'll begin with this one thing this year, one thing, to make an appointment, to have an appointment with God. I remember years ago when I first started doing this, getting up early in the morning, and if I found myself late or if I was talking with somebody and I said, you know, I got to go. Why do you got to go? I've got an appointment. I got an early morning appointment tomorrow and I got to go home and get some sleep. An early morning appointment. And they try to think, a doctor's appointment, dentist's appointment. Who do you have an appointment with? I said, with Jesus. And so I'm cutting this conversation short. I'm going home to getting some sleep because I have an appointment with Jesus tomorrow morning, and I want to be awake, and I want to be refreshed, and because I know that my Jesus has something to say to me. Do you have an appointment set with Jesus? If it's not in the morning, is it the afternoon, is it the evening? Do you have an appointed time where you meet with Jesus? Because it says that this one thing is needed. It's needed. And Jesus said it's not going to be taken from her. Yeah, she had some things that she needed to be done, but there was a time to be with Jesus first, and then those other things she could attend to Martha with. And so we have to realize that we have to have an appointed time. Do you have an appointed time? You have to make that appointed time. And then you're going to find yourself living more of a yes life, a yes Lord life to Jesus. You're going to be able to hear Him more clearly. You're going to discern Him more accurately. You're going to be able to follow Him more precisely. Why can I say that? Because it's the pattern that I choose to live in my own personal life. And it's a pattern that you need to choose in your own personal life. Amen? You make a choice like this, and that one thing. And I'll tell you, in the beginning, it's not easy. If you're not disciplined, if you haven't done this yet, if you don't know how to get quiet before the Lord and hear from the Lord, I tell you, every distraction, every kind of thought, everything's going to try to come in at that time. But I am told here, if this one thing is needed, and it will not be taken from you. If you choose to obey God and follow Him day after day, week after week, if it takes month after month, I guarantee you eventually You'll start receiving. You'll start hearing. It's very easy. You know, the seed principle that people use with prosperity, you know, give 10 bucks, get 1,000 back. Seed is seed. I can plant one tomato. I can plant one tomato seed and get 120 plum tomatoes out of that one seed. It's the spiritual law of reproduction. If you invest with time with God, I guarantee eventually that's going to come back to you and you're going to begin hearing. I guarantee it because you're investing, you're planting, you're planting, you're planting, you're planting. God sees, God sees, God sees. I know God will answer. But the moment unbelief comes in, the moment you say this isn't working, all that time, you've just dug it up and thrown it out. Because you've allowed some other seed to come in and choke out that one. Unbelief in something you've just done that you know that you should be doing, and you know, Mark, I've tried that for 2 months and I just didn't get anything. All that 2 months is thrown out because unbelief went in and grabbed out that seed of faith and said nothing was accomplished during that 2 months' time. Or can you say, you know, Mark, after 2 months, you know, I'm still getting in that place where the Lord's going to speak to me. I just know because the Word of God is true. And it says this one thing is needful, and I'm going to stay with it because the Lord will speak because He says He will. Put yourself in a place of believing God. Amen? And sometimes we need to get renewed even in how we believe God. Right? Okay. Now, we began looking, and I'm going to go over this real quickly, the three yes Lords. And I'm really going to get to that place as to why I believe that God had me look at this 2019 as a yes, Lord year. The first one we looked at was in John chapter 21, where Jesus was already resurrected from the dead. And he told his disciples to go to Galilee and wait for him. And actually, he got word to go do that. And Peter gets down there, and what does he do? Let's go what? Let's go fishing. See, Jesus knew Peter was a man of influence. And what Peter said, people followed. They all got on that boat. They all went fishing. What'd they catch? Nothing. But there's somebody on the shore that says, throw the net in on the other side. They threw the net in on the other side. They had such a big catch, they could hardly even pull it in. It says, oh, that's Jesus. Peter throws off his outer clothes and jumps in the water in his skivvies and swims to Jesus. But then Jesus, after he has this little bread and fish that he has for his disciples there, number one, where'd he get the fire? Number two, where'd he get the bread and where'd he get the fish? He's Jesus. He asked Peter. He asked him a question. I think let's try John 21. Let's see if it's 15. Is that close? Where Jesus asked him the first question? Okay. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love you. This is Jesus now saying to him, feed my lambs. Do you love me more than these? And you heard me take some time and to explain what I think that I believe that Jesus wasn't pitting one disciple against another. Jesus wasn't saying, do you love me, Peter, more than these disciples? Do you love me more than this great catch of fish? See, I've called you to do something. I called you. Remember when his first call came in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus said to Peter and his brother, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. He knew that Peter was a man of influence. He knew that Peter had a sway over people's lives. And Jesus was saying, don't you remember when you were first called? I called you to fish for men, not this. Your life is to be changed now. You have to have a different purpose, a different direction. Are you willing to do what I have called you to do? And all the fish that your life needs will be given to you. All the provision that your life needs will be supplied to you. Or do you love me more than these fish? Are you willing to do what I told you 3.5 years earlier? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Because Jesus went on to say what? If you love me, feed my lambs. tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. And so Jesus, you know, an expression of devotion and love for Jesus is to obey his word and follow what his word says. Just to choose to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And as a result of our yes, Lord, do you love, okay, what is, if we were to put a blank in there, do you love me more than? What is our more than? What is my more than? Is there anything in my life that has a greater priority than Jesus Christ himself? Is there anything in my life that I make an excuse of, oh, well, I'm too busy, I can't, I really like to get in the Word this morning. Here, let me just try to remember Scripture real fast. My favorite verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. Okay, Lord, thank you for that word today. Okay, I'm leaving now. Sometimes we can rely on our own knowledge and our own understanding and our own memory of Scripture, and we can soothe ourselves that we have just sought the Lord. Or when somebody asks you something, hey, how you doing this week? Has the Lord shown you anything? And sometimes we sit there and we try not to show any expression on our face. We kind of blink our eyes and we're waiting for something this past week. And then we reach for some way out thing to just go ahead and say to that person so we look somewhat spiritual. We all do it at times. If I was to ask any one of you today, what has Jesus shown you this past week? What has he taught you this past week? Would we sit there with a question mark and just try to fish for something? So then the question we have to go back to, if we have a hard time answering that this morning, are we willing? What is our more than? Do you love me more than? What has come into our life that we choose more than Jesus Christ? See, he wants to touch that. He wants to touch that so that we can say, yes, Lord. Because the only way to be a feeder, the only way to impart truth into other people's lives, the only way to teach truth to someone, the only way to be used of God in ministry, and I would venture to say all of you want to be used in ministry. Because the Word of God says we're all ministers. We're all ministers of the new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says we're able ministers of the New Testament. Every one of us is an able minister. We have the ability. Able means we have the ability to minister. You have the ability to minister. Okay? But if we can't even come up with an answer of what the Lord's been showing us or teaching us within yesterday, a week, or then how is God going to use us to feed into somebody else's life? Where we have to first be partakers of feeding upon Christ Jesus so that we can feed other people's lives. He says, then if you love me, there's not a hand here that won't go up today saying, I don't love Jesus. We all love Jesus. That's why we're here. We love Jesus. But could our love or could our devotion become stronger? Could our consecration to him become stronger? That's why I believe that this year is going to be a year of yes, Lord, because he's going to begin touching areas in your life that need to be changed, that need to be transformed, that need to be conformed to his image, that need some help. I don't know about you, but I need some help. I'm not standing here saying anything to you that I don't put myself in the front of the line. I need improvement. You need improvement. We all need improvement. So when the Lord comes to me, and he was coming to me through these three different yes, Lords, when he comes to us, do you love me more than these? And when the Lord touches one specific area, Mark, do you love me more than? Like, wow. Boy, for you even to be asking me this question, apparently that there is a choice that I make with this greater than you. Wow, Lord God, but you know what? My heart, my spirit that is joined with your spirit says, yes, Lord, and you're going to help me overcome this. You're going to help me overcome this because you want to use my life to feed other people's lives. What good is it to have God place somebody across your path and there's not any bread in your house to feed somebody? And God wants your life to be a house full of bread. He wants your life to be full of fish. He wants your life to be full of himself. So that when somebody comes to feast, you're like, oh my gosh, hey, there's a banqueting table that the Lord has been showing me. What is it your life needs? Lord God, show me what this life needs. So this year is going to be year of the yes, Lord. But the question will come to you, Do you love me more than? And he, you, whatever your blank is that he's going to fill in there, don't be afraid to ask him that question. Don't be afraid to ask. Just ask him. Just be very plain about it. Lord, is there anything going on in my life that, well, how about this? It says one thing is needed. So why don't we start with one thing? Lord, is there one thing in my life that is keeping me from seeking the one thing that I need time with you in? Is there something taking place that it has more of a prominence within my life than you should? You ask a question like that, the Lord will show you. But I hope that you're already preparing yourself with a yes, Lord, response. I'm like, I didn't think he was going to show me that. Why not? Why not? See, he wants to use your life. See, you're sitting here today to get taught the Word of God, to be encouraged, to be edified, to be exhorted, so that you can grab something today and have a life that is experiencing some kind of change, no matter how small it is, some kind of transformation, something to be revealed, something to grab hold of, something to let go of, something to secure, so that when you walk out of here, you'll be spiritually available to the Lord for somebody else also. We're you're not an island. You're not an island. We're part of a body, and whether it be to the body of Christ or somebody that needs to be part of the body of Christ. Okay, that is what our life here is about. For you to be changed and to God to use you to feed or to seed with his word, seed with his truth, other people's lives. Amen? You're just not coming here to occupy a seat on Sunday morning. You're here to learn something of Jesus, be changed, be transformed, and take that change and take that transformation and impart it to somebody else. And the second one that we looked at was the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. And they heard about Jesus. If you read the verses above that, it talks about what Jesus was doing in Matthew chapter 9, going through all the different areas, preaching and healing, raising a little girl from the dead. And these blind guys have heard all this wonderful stuff about Jesus, and they heard that Jesus was coming, and what they begin crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." They're crying out. In one gospel, they're told to shut up. How many of you have been told to shut up when you're seeking for something from the Lord? How many of you, oh yeah, fat chance, I believe God for that one time, I didn't get squat. See, sometimes those things happen to us. You share with somebody what you're believing God for, and you share it with a person who didn't get anything from the Lord. Well, you know, I tried believing God for that, it didn't happen to me. See, that's another way of getting your mouth shut. Not allowing your voice to continue to rise up before the Lord and secure what he has for you. Because they had heard a truth about Jesus Christ, and that truth had so lodged with inside their hearts, they weren't going to be stopped. Jesus didn't stop in Matthew's gospel. He didn't stop right there. He went inside a house. It says they went in the house after him. You heard me ask on a Wednesday, how does a blind man get to the front door? Blank. Boink. I mean, it didn't say anybody led them. They probably went up to the wall and was like, we're getting inside the house. Here, put your hand on my shoulder. We're going to get in this house. Sometimes we have to put ourselves of what's going on and what's being written there, and to see the tenacity, to see the drive, to see the determination of these two men, we are getting to Jesus. Let's go. And they made sure that they got into the house and they got to Jesus. Still, Jesus asked them a question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you really believe that I'm able to do this? What did they want? They wanted to see. And what did they respond? Yes, Lord. He says, let it be to you according to your faith. Ooh. If Jesus said that to us today, let it be to you according to your faith, would our faith need some changing? Would our faith need to be built up? Would it need to grow some more? Or are we like these blind guys? Oh, let me just ask you a question. Do you have any blindness within your own life? Or do you have complete, total revelation about everything? No, you don't have complete, total revelation about anything. We're connected to the one who does. We have the mind of Christ available to us. But there's still areas that we're in the dark about. But when we hear a truth, or a promise that we ourselves have not yet experienced or lived in or received, so we're really in the dark about it. But when we hear more and we hear more and we hear more and we're taught more and we're taught more, all of a sudden the light goes on with inside of us. We say a prayer, we talk to the Lord, we go up for ministry, however it is that the Lord leads you to fulfill that which has become alive within you. And then when you are asked the question, somebody come, Bill, come on up here for a minute. Just so everybody can watch. Bill, what are you coming up here for prayer for? And then out of his mouth, a request will come. And you'll wonder sometimes, like in the book of James, it says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. See, God wants faith to be sparked in a person's heart and for them to make the move to the vessel that God may use, whether it be me up here or one of you up here ministering or you go directly to the Lord. He wants the faith to become alive in you first. So that when, well, you know, I'm coming up for this, and I say, well, do you believe that the Lord can do this? Yes, I believe that the Lord can do this. You see, I like to ask people questions because I want to know where their faith is at. Or do I need to momentarily right now cover some word of God, cover something of God's promises to help build this one up in faith so that they may believe God? Thank you, brother. And so we, being like that blind man, when a truth comes to us, when an understanding comes to us, when a promise comes to us that God wants us to secure, will we have tenacity? Will we have determination? Will we have purpose? I'm going to have that answer for my life. Because if Jesus did it in that person's life, he'll do it in my life. Or are we quick to just give up on it? Or are we tenacious? Those guys were tenacious. I mean, I could just see them going like, where's that front door of this house? Where's the front door? I want to get to Jesus. Shut up. No, I'm not going to shut up. You shut up. I'm getting to Jesus. I mean, do you have that type of fight? Or when somebody says, no, he's too busy. It's too crowded. Oh, I'm going to barge my way through then. Do you have that type of belief? And God is wanting us to be more tenacious, more purposeful, more determined to believe his word more than what somebody else's so-called experience may have been, and they didn't get it. Well, they didn't get it. God's word says I'm going to choose to believe God more than that person's experience. Amen? But we do need to hear testimony of what God is doing in people's hearts and doing in people's lives. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I don't mean with mealy mouth. I mean proclamation. Guess what Jesus has done? What? There used to be a song by David Ingalls. And the song went something like this. Does anybody here have anything good to say about Jesus? Let him come and declare. Before testimony meetings, we used to sing that song many years ago. Does anybody here have anything good to say about Jesus of Nazareth? And somebody went, boom, I do! And Pastor Bill says, when you say yes or I do to that part of the song, I want you to jump up and run down here instead of, yeah, I do. Well, 30 years ago, I was just walking down a road. No, he wants some living, vibrant meeting with Jesus. I sat in the presence of Jesus. I heard the word of God. This is what happened to me. We shouldn't have to be relying on 30-year-old testimonies. What is God doing today? There's nothing wrong with your testimony, how you got saved, but what is he doing today? Amen? What's he doing in your life? What does he teach you? What is he showing you? So we're going to have our response when we come to Jesus with a promise, with a teaching. This is what your word says, and we've been in the dark about it. Do you believe, if Jesus was to ask you, do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you have confidence? Do you have complete assurance? Are you able to completely rely and trust in me that I'm able to do this, that I have the ability to bring this, you know, to pass in your life? Man, right then and there, the answer should be, yes, Lord, be it unto you according to your faith. And I tell you what, there have been many times where I've gone to the Lord and I've had a promise. I went, be it unto you according to your faith. Boom! Flat out. Do I get up and walk away? Guess I didn't, you know. Or do I go back? Do I go back to the Word? If, you know what? If we're not tenacious, even when it doesn't happen, then find out why. Go back. Build yourself up. Get some other things. Maybe the Lord is going to have to teach you and show you a whole bunch of other things before you're going to be able to get this. But don't give up when you know it's a truth or a promise from God's word. Don't give up. There's still something you're in the dark about, and he wants to shed light, truth, revelation upon that which you need. Be patient. Be persistent. Be tenacious. You're not going to let go. Amen? I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go of anything. It says all the promises of God are what? So-so. 50-50. Hit some, you lose some. Is that what the word says? It says, no, they're all yes, and they're all amen in Jesus Christ. All. I want some more all. How about you? Hallelujah. This is, I believe, a year of yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The last yes, Lord, we looked at was from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus got through saying all these. He's done all this wonderful teaching all the way like from Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, that's another cool thing to talk about when you're talking about royal priesthood. Moses went up to the mountain. Remember I told you about there's a study of the royal priesthood I've been doing where after the order of Melchizedek? Moses went up the mountain, received the Ten Commandments and all the oral law for the children of Israel. Jesus also went up to a mount, you know, starting in Matthew chapter 5. And he talked about, blessed are. You see, we have a different teaching. We have a royal priesthood teaching that has come from our King Priest himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When some people look at the Sermon on the Mount or the teachings of Jesus, they say, there's just no way that anybody can live this. Oh, but because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, that is who I am and that's how I live. I don't look at it within doubt. I live in it because that is the word that has come from my Lord and Savior direct from his mouth, and it's part of the new creation lifestyle that I live. Plus the further revelation that Paul received and the further revelation that Peter received and James and Jude. It's just more things that he has for us. Amen? Don't ever look at the word of God as nobody can do this. You've already just lost then. You've already spoken a word of faith out, and you've already set yourself on a course never to fulfill it. But if it's there, and Jesus said, what was the last few verses in Matthew chapter 28? He resurrected from the dead, appears to his disciples, and he says, all authority, all power has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples what? Of all nations. That's the mission statement of this church. Make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. Not converts, disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, listen to what Jesus said after his resurrection. Teaching them to observe, teaching them to keep, teaching them to hold to, teaching them to cling to all things, whatever I have said to you. So he goes back. After his resurrection, points to everything he said before he died on the cross and said, this is part of the New Testament revelation of truth that you're supposed to be learning. If you ever get around, like I said, anybody that says, get rid of the red letters and just stick to Paul's letters, run! Because Jesus himself went back and pointed to everything that came out of his mouth and the further revelation that Paul and the others received. Amen? So I've got a passage of Scripture that tells me, oh, we got even another one. How about prior to Matthew? Did Jesus point back to anything prior to that? How many of you have ever heard, oh, Genesis to Malachi, Old Testament, stay out of it. There's nothing in it for us. People say that nowadays, right? When Jesus resurrected from the dead, there was two guys that they knew Jesus died and was buried, and the two on the road to Emmaus, they're walking and Jesus comes up to them stealthily. In other words, they don't know it's Jesus. And are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not heard everything that was going to happen? You know, this guy that we thought was the Messiah, they killed him. Oh, you of slow of heart. Have you not heard what it says? And it says, through the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, he taught them all things concerning himself. Spiritual revelation about Jesus Christ himself through Genesis to Malachi. So we have Jesus not just pointing back to his teaching, but we have Jesus ministering to these two people about all these wonderful passages and prophecies that were fulfilled within his life, his death, and his resurrection. So Jesus says that we're to learn all these things about him from Genesis to the Amen, to the very last word in the book of Revelation. Wow. That is what he has for us. It takes a lifetime to learn this and go back over and over and over. God has so many things in here for us. Amen? So I'm just trying to help you because we're living in a day in which a lot of people are razor-blading the Bible. A lot of people are saying, stay away from this or stay away from that. You don't need this, you don't need that. Just you focus on this. When we hear the Apostle Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or actually chapter 3, verse 1, he says, perilous times are coming. They're here. We're here. They're here. I did a study this past year. The prophet. We spent some time this last year looking at prophecy. We spent some time looking at Daniel chapter 11 and Daniel chapter 12 where it says the wise will understand. We spent some time looking at prophecy and Israel, prophecy and things that will take place on this planet, prophecy and the church. God wants us to know about all these things, but he wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He wants us to know about these things, but not let all the things that are taking place overwhelm us. We're to stay on mission. We're to stay on track. He says, I want you to know that these things are going to happen, and they're going to increase. They're going to get worse. Matter of fact, there's going to be a falling away that's going to take place. Matter of fact, through the Apostle Paul, he says there's coming a time at the end where people aren't going to want to endure, put up with, stay with sound, wholesome, beautiful doctrine. But they're going to want teachers to tickle their ears and just tell them just wonderful platitudes and blessings that they want to hear. He says they're going to heap up teachers like that. Now, wait a second. When I think of a heap, a mound, a pile, that's pretty big. And so it talks about these people as being heaped up. Large quantities of, in comparison to what? Those that are teaching sound doctrine. That's why we have to know that it says impostors. Evil men and impostors are going to grow worse and worse. Worse and worse. That's what Paul said. He says, all you who live godly in Christ Jesus, you will experience some resistance or some persecution. But he says, stay in the Word of God. Stay with the Scriptures. Stay with Jesus. Stay where you know you need to stay. Get into the whole counsel of God's Word. Amen? And so we're living in those times. So I'm excited about these times because I know what's transpiring and taking place. I know the horrific things that are going to happen on this planet. When these things begin happening, lift up your eyes. Start getting a vision of Jesus. Start getting a picture of Jesus, for your redemption draws near. Don't get concentrated on that. We can sit here all day long. I can go through here and all these different, some of these different teachers and tell you they're false doctrine. And we could go, oh, look at that one. And oh, look at that one. And oh, I want to talk Jesus, 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 Jesus. I want to impart into you the truth of God's word. So when the false comes up, no, that is not Jesus. That is not of God. That's a lookalike Jesus. That's another spirit. And that's another gospel. And I'm staying away from that. That's how I've been able to discern all these things over the years, because I've been taught and trained in the truth of God's word. And when the error comes up, I don't want to have any part of it. Oh, but pastor, they've got X amount of people. They're on TV every day. I don't give a flip. Being very kind with my words right now. The word of God says this. The word of God says this. The word of God says this. You say that's what they say. How does that line up with these three scriptures? Well, who do you think you are? You're just a pastor of 100, 120 people maybe. I have to side with Jesus. See, it's not the bigness of a church or the smallness of a church. It's the truth that they're embracing that counts. It's the word of God that they're... So you can have a mega church that's right on. Or you can have a mega church that's right off. You can have a small church. Just because we're small doesn't mean we're right. Just because a church is small doesn't mean it's right. Okay? And so some people, oh, I want to get out of those big churches and get myself planted into a small church, as long as they're teaching the whole counsel of God's word. Okay? See, you know, if I had a box up here of snakes and said, well, I'm going to see your faith, come up and grab one. Get out the back door. Okay? There's foolishness also that takes place in churches. Okay? There's something. There's a counsel that God is wanting to reveal. There's a counsel that God is speaking. We have been entrusted here with so much wonderful word. Pastor Bill wrote a book one time, The Wonderful Word of God. And we have been given so much as a church body. And I've been going back over some of our courses, and I've been trying to get equipment ready, running wires, getting things set up for the next phase of where God wants to take this assembly here. And I've been endeavoring to do what the Lord has shown me to do. Pastor Bill's not coming back. And the mantle now has fallen to me. That I believe that God has called me to be the lead pastor of this local assembly. But I can't do it without you. I can't do this alone. I can't do all this work around here alone. I try, and I just wear myself out. It's probably taken me 20-something years to realize that. Yeah, Elnora says, at least I realize. I need your help getting some of these things done, because God has called me, as it says in Acts chapter 6, you know, when the disciples, they were in the Word of God in prayer, but they were also ministering and doing all the other things, passing out the food and all those kind of things, and says, whoa, wait a second here. There's a change that needs to take place, and you need to appoint a 7 from among you to oversee this work so we can give ourselves to the Word of God in prayer. And I know that's what God has been calling me to, is to the Word of God in prayer. And so some of these physical things that I've been doing, I've got to lay aside. And you might say, well, the church is starting to look a mess. Well, if you see something to be done, then do it. Sometimes the will of God is something being pointed out to you that nobody else is seeing. That's the will of God for you, for your life. Because how many of you know that one of the ministries is administration? Okay, and there's things that need to be administrated, things that need to be taken care of. And I can only do so much now. Okay, I know I've got strength, and I know God has blessed me, and I'm 60 years old, and I'm still doing pretty good for a 60-year-old guy. But I'm to be going more into this area. And the Lord has been showing me. I've talked with Larry, and I've talked with Frank. We have a course here that we only taught 2 years. Any here of the Alpha Beta course that we once taught? Okay, the Believer's Advanced Ministry Training course. And I've got together with Larry and I've got together with Frank just to share some things with them that on Wednesday nights, we're going to begin reteaching this. But we're going to announce which section we're going to start with, like covenants we're going to start with, and so that people can get an understanding of covenants. So people can get an understanding, and we're going to announce it's going to be for this many weeks, and when you come on a Wednesday night, this is what you're going to be taught for this week's. And then afterwards, let's say it ends the second Wednesday of the month, and there's three Wednesdays left, then those who'd normally teach, whether it be Larry, Frank, or myself, will just teach what the Lord gives us until we start the next section. So sometimes we need a break for a week or two before we start the next section. But we're going to go through all those 7 or 8 sections that are in that course because we want to get it to a place of teaching it first and getting it put on audio and video before we announce a class where we will have a advanced ministry training class, and you'll get the materials and you'll get the workbooks and you'll have the journal that you yourselves will be able to do it, but you'll also have something to listen to. You'll have a complimentary teaching concerning that subject, and then come back together on that Monday night or whatever that night will be that we have the course in the future and hear from another teacher or a law of agreement for a confirming word to be taught. And see, God is wanting that, and God has shown to me and revealed to me. I was back there looking through the drawers of all the different courses that we have and we've taught over the years, and there's a lot of you that have not been taught those things. Or maybe some of you, and you don't even remember those things. That's why we have a passage of Scripture from Peter himself. He says, though you may know these things and we're established in them, you need to be reminded again. And there's some that need to be reminded again. Okay, so we want to begin doing that. I'm not going to say when that is. I still have some things I need to talk over with Larry and Frank about the Wednesday, but I'm saying it's not going to be any later than the spring. Okay, so we still got some weeks here of the winter months, and we want to announce these things because God wants you to be established in the truth. And he wants you established in the truth in such a way that you're able to relay it to somebody else. What good is the Word of God if it doesn't change you and God use you to help somebody else change? That's where it has to get, not just a hearing, but a receiving, a becoming, and an imparting to somebody else. That's what he has for us. That's what he has for you. And that's what he's wanting to do. And so I see these yes, Lord. I'm not going to be able to get to what else I wanted to share today, but maybe next week we'll get into Haggai this past Wednesday. Because there's a truth in Haggai and in Joel and a couple other Old Testament passages where the Lord is wanting to get people's attention. And real quick with Haggai, I believe that Haggai was was a prophet that God used, and his name means festive or festival, or the result of a sacrifice giving at a feast and the joy afterwards when the feast or when the sacrifice was acceptable to God, which becomes festive. Wasn't it wonderful after you got saved, after the sacrifice of Jesus was applied to your life? Weren't you festive? Weren't you like, oh, thank you, Lord. I know my sins are forgiven. I'm clean before you. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I was on such a cloud. Woo! Cloud Jesus. And that's what, you know, his name means. His name means festive, or the result of a sacrifice given and the joy and festivity that follows after the sacrifice. And the children of Israel were in Babylonian. They were 70 years in captivity, and they've come back. And they were given a task to rebuild the city, to rebuild the walls. And they started. But then they stopped rebuilding the wall. They started getting caught up in their own lives and forgetting. See, it's good to learn about the promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to know who we are in Christ. That's all part of it. We do need to know that. But never neglect the work that God has for us on top of that. And they were just so introspecting, so involved personally, that they had forgot the rest of the work that God had called them to do. And so God speaks to this prophet to get the people's attention. And he's ministering. He ministers to a high priest. He ministers to a governor, and then he ministers to the people. A governor, high priest, or a priest, a son of a high priest, and then to the people. Because God knew that he needed to affect leadership in order to affect people. That God's word has to get to those that are in charge or those that are leading in order for the people to get an understanding. So he deals with everybody in between. And if you just take your time and go through that and see the spiritual significance of God's call to consider your ways. To consider your ways. It said twice, I believe, in chapter 1. And it's really cool. I would just encourage you to look up the word consider. Look up the word ways. And to see if our ways line up with God's ways. If the journey of our life is lining up with the journey that God wants our life to take. And I would like to teach a little bit on that and bring out the emphasis of, yes, a personal transformation, and also what God would have us to be ministering to others. And sometimes some people give themselves a ministry and neglect their own spiritual growth. Some people focus so much on their own spiritual growth and forget to give out to others what they have. There's a joining together the two. And that's what Haggai is trying to bring out, the joining together the two. Okay? So that's what I would like to look at that in a little bit here in the future. But closing with today, we all have to have a yes, Lord. And I really believe that you're going to be, the Lord by the Holy Spirit is going to be challenging you. He's going to be speaking to you this year. You're going to hear word and you're going to have these questions asked to you spiritually. And the Lord is wanting to know where you're at and if you'll say yes. The Lord is wanting your priorities to become his priorities to become your priorities. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 55, which speaks about that God's ways are higher than our ways. In God's words, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? But in the new creation, God's ways are to be our ways. God's thoughts are to be our thoughts. See, remember, he was talking to old covenant people there. And as new covenant people, we have a connection now with God by the Holy Spirit. We have a connection. The very last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, you now possess the mind of Christ. You have a direct connection with God himself. So yeah, there are some things in my life that were all messed up, and I had to get Mark's ways of doing things to become God's ways of doing things. Mark's way of looking at something to get God's view of looking at it. Mark's thoughts on this to begin getting God's thoughts on this. And that's all available to us in the new creation. And in Isaiah 55, it says, just take some time and look at the rain. It comes down from heaven and waters the earth. God has a word that he has for you to water your own earth. But it says it's going to do something. It's going to bud. It's going to produce seed in you. It's going to produce life in you, and you're going to be able to impart that to somebody else. It says that his word will not return unto him what? Void, but it will accomplish what he has sent it forth to do. And when you realize that it's a great, big, wonderful, beautiful circle from God to you, through you to somebody else, and to return to him fulfilled. Never forget that last part there, to somebody else. Because he's going to use you to provide bread for those who are hungry. Bread for the eater. And so you're going to partake, and then you're going to give, and then it's going to return back to the Lord. So just remember that there's this year, if I could just say this, it's going to be a yes, Lord, year. But you have to be willing, to hear the Lord challenge you. Is there something that's more important in your life than he is? And he'll begin, like I said, one thing. He's such a God of order, and he knows the one thing that he needs to touch that may be your, do you love me more than these? Do you have a love that, or an affection or a kindness? Do you have something that you are more apt to be attracted to and do over and above Jesus himself or over and above his word? And if the answer is yes, he will put his finger on it. Let him do that. I can't save you and you can't save me, but we can share the word with one another, and Holy Spirit can do what he was sent to do. Amen? And the other one was, there are areas of darkness within our life. There are areas that we're, whether darkness meaning evil or bad, or just areas of ignorance, I don't know. I'm in the dark about this. Any of you ever say that? I'm in the dark about this? In other words, you have no light. You have no revelation. You don't know what to do. He says he wants to bring light in our darkness. But once that truth comes to us, man, we're to grab hold of it and say, Jesus, this is what your word says, and this is what needs to take place within my life. He wants us to know that we can. See, that's why we need to teach on covenants. Because some of us are so mealy-mouthed when it comes to the promises or the teachings of God's word. Well, would you just please let me have that, Lord? You know, Father God, I just thank you that I'm one of your children, and this is what you said, is bread for your children and the inheritance among those who by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ receive. That I inherit you and everything about you and everything that you are, Lord God. So I'm just addressing you right now as Father. And as I address you as Father, the Word of God says that I can find out and say these things before the Father. Now, what's going on? I don't understand. What's going on within me that I'm not grabbing hold of this? Can you just teach me about it? I need you to parent me right now. He wants us to interact with him. I believe this is also going to be a year of relationships. Because I was also talking with Larry and Frank about God wants to also bring us into covenant relationships. And sometimes we don't even know how to interact with one another in church. How are we going to interact with people in the world? How are we going to talk to, God wants us to learn what it means to get together as brothers and sisters also. And learn to interact and open up with one another and have a wonderful fellowship in the Word. You may be in the dark about that. I don't know how to talk to anybody. I don't know what to say. Well, I tell you what, you learn something of God's Word, just share what you're learning. Okay, and start partaking that way. There are things that God wants us to get down to. You are not going to receive some of the things that God has for your life without the body of Christ. You're not going to receive it here from me on a Sunday morning. He wants interaction. Okay? And so he wants us to know covenant, he wants us to know a relationship, and he also wants us to grasp what it means to have a father-child relationship with himself. Okay? And then, let's just close with this, Matthew chapter 13. Look up for me, try 51. Is that the one about the scribe? See, Jesus wants us to, he's asking us also a question. He wants to ask you a question today. The word of God that you've been taught, are you understanding it? Are you getting it? Are there some truths that you have gotten? Jesus just got through, like I said earlier, from the Sermon on the Mount to all these wonderful things that he was teaching and all these different parables that he's been teaching in Matthew 13. And there was even some of them they didn't understand. They got alone with Jesus and says, what does this one mean? What is he tares talking about? And Jesus explained to them the meaning of some of these parables. And he gets to the end of all these parables and these different teachings and he just looks at them and he asks them a question. Have you understood all these things? And what was their response? Yea, Lord, or yes, Lord. So does he just want us to say, yes, I got this? This is a great word. I really benefited by it. The next verse talks about a scribe. And he wants to use you as a scribe. See, when you understand it, it's been scribed in you. It's been written on your heart. Not in tablets of stone, but by the Holy Spirit in the tablet of the flesh of your heart, in your spirit, in your mind. You're being changed. You're being transformed. So there's a good scribe, not just the scribes, when we think of the bad ones, or the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes that were always against Jesus. He's talking about a scribe that has been taught the things of Jesus himself, and these things have been written in our life, and our lives have been changed as a result of it. Then he said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. If you know one word, one teaching, one promise of God's word, you've got a treasure inside your heart already. You are a holder of that truth within your life. And God wants to use you to scribe it in somebody else's life. He wants you to share it. So if you're understanding the Word of God and your life is being changed and you're understanding it and you're getting these things, he just doesn't want you to hold it. He wants you to release it and begin being used of God to begin writing it upon somebody else's heart as the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance and you are being used of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God comes out of your lips, the Holy Spirit begins to inscribe it upon their heart and their life so they can be changed and transformed. See, that's the ultimate end of our yes, Lord, to be used of God in ministry, to be used of God and to minister to others as we ourselves have been ministered to. Father God, we thank you for this time here today. And just a clear, wonderful, simple yes, Lord, teaching that you've been speaking to me about over these months, Lord God, has just led to this culmination of this 2018, Lord God, and looking forward to a 2019, a year of greater consecration, a year of greater dedication, a year of greater yieldedness to you, a year, Lord God, that we are expecting a greater usefulness of our lives by you in ministry, Lord, that we are saying yes to you, Lord. We are saying yes to you, Father, that if there's anything within our life that is a greater priority or has greater precedence within our life than you do, then we choose to love you first, and we say yes, Lord. Then he says, like he said to Peter, then feed my lambs. Attend to my ministry. Attend to the things and to the people that I want you to attend to. Quit wasting your time on frivolous things that in light of eternity will not matter or count for anything. But people do. Lord God, when we're in the dark about anything, whether it's darkness of sin or some hidden thing that we haven't yet overcome, or if we're just ignorant about something, there's truth that you're wanting to bring to us. There's enlightenment that you're wanting to bring to us. There's a testimony. There's a revelation of truth. As Paul said, the eyes of our understanding, you want them enlightened, Lord God, that we would be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge, Lord God, of yourself. That you're wanting for us to see spiritually, Lord God. You're wanting us to get set free of anything that hinders. As the writer of Hebrews says, that to lay aside any weight or any sin that is causing us to get tripped up so we can run the race that you have before us, that we can look unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and accomplish what you want our life to accomplish, so we can be like our precious Pastor Bill. We can be like the Apostle Paul. When it comes for us to breathe our last breath, we can say, my departure's at hand. We can say, Lord God, with them, that we have kept the faith, that we have kept the faith, we have finished the race, Lord God. And we know that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. But until that day, Lord God, we need to keep moving on with you. We need to keep progressing on with you. This isn't a sprint, Lord God. This is a long distance, as your word says, run. And through that long distance run, we'll fall, but we'll get back up. You'll help us, Lord God. Because what you started, I have your word, Lord God, on it. What you have begun in us, you will complete until that day of Jesus Christ. What you started in us, you said you'll bring to completion. And we so trust your word, Lord. And so we thank you, Father. The one thing that is needed that we can begin with this year, Lord, is to say, you know what? I just need to spend a little bit more quality time with God and his word. And it says when you do that, it will not be taken from you. There will be a revelation. There will be a truth. Something will be imparted to you. Be diligent to stay with it. And Lord God, after you've taught us, and after it's been scribed in our life, and after we've been changed and transformed, the question will come to you as it came to me. Now do you understand these things? Are you now getting what he's saying? And your answer is going to be yes, Lord. Then be the Lord's scribe. Be the Lord's minister. Be used of the Lord to be a ready writer by the Holy Spirit through your words into other people's lives. Because he's wanting to use your life. God has no plan B. Those of you who have been taught the word of God, he wants to use your life to reach somebody else's life. That's the way that God has ordained all this to grow and increase. So here we are, Lord God. By faith this morning, all of us here, we say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Just by faith this morning, do you want to go all the way with the Lord? If the Lord was to ask you, do you want more that I have for your life? I believe that we would have a resounding yes, Lord. And so here we are, Lord. We're looking forward to this new year, Lord God, with great anticipation, Lord. You're going to bring things out to us, Lord, that are old that we need to hear again, or some very fresh things, Lord, to us. But they're going to be written on our lives, and we're never going to let them go, Lord God, and we're going to impart them to other people. So we thank you for this past year. Oh, Lord God, there's been some very devastating times, but there's also been some wonderful healing times. And so we thank you, Father, as we close the chapter to 2018. We look forward with anticipation to 2019 with a big resounding yes, Lord, upon our lips. Let's go. In Jesus' name, amen.